I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, April 16th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And so let us dive in, shall we? This year, the subject, the overarching subject of each broadcast really is war. We are in a state of war in ways and in which most people do not perceive. No idea, but it's happening all around us. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's everywhere. And it's disconcerting. That is a fact. And when you want to see it, or excuse me, when you do see it, it's not that you want to see it, but you just can't unsee it. So what is to be done, dear comrades? Mentioned last week on Friday, I believe, that I would discuss some things that we can do, some action items, some practical action items, and so I'll probably get to some of those today, but I've been going through this series based on Richard Weaver's Ideas Have Consequences, a series of posts talking about these from back in 2018 and 2019. And I think as we go through these, you will see that they sound prophetic. Weaver's book, Ideas Have Consequences, was published in 1948, going on 80 years. And in many ways, reading it today, one could be easily convinced that it was written today or it was written very recently. So you have to ask yourself, how is it possible that he could chart so accurately the trajectory of our society? And when you understand the forces at work and, you know, the notion of an action and an equal and opposite reaction, these kinds of things, then it's not mysterious. And I think really, in a sense, He was writing about certain passages, for example, Romans chapter 1, which gives us very similar warnings. I mean, I'll just maybe mention that as we get going here. There are a couple other things that I'll probably throw out as things to maybe take a look at. For example, Larry sent me this, what I thought was very interesting. Joe Bannister. The interview with Clayton Morris over at Redacted. Very, very interesting. Very interesting interview. You know, there is much that is discussed. This is, you know, concerning IRS information. Do I have to pay my income taxes? How does that work? Where is the law? Is there a law? Is there an absence of a law? You know, if you know Joe Bannister, you probably, if you're familiar and you go back far enough, you may be familiar with, I believe it was Aaron Russo's America, Freedom to Fascism that featured Joe Bannister in that clip, the mainstream media interview, where the lady, I forget who it was, but she says, how have you gotten away with not paying your taxes? And Joe Bannister says, I've not gotten away with anything. And he sort of explains. And so all these years later now, the title of the video is actually Former IRS Agent Reveals I Haven't Paid Income Taxes in 25 Years. It's unconstitutional. Redacted. If you have gone down this rabbit hole, perhaps like me, you've seen people do tremendous harm to themselves and do things in a way that's not entirely well informed or ill advised. And let me just say, in this interview, I mean, it's a pretty darn good interview. I think Clayton Morris did a pretty good job of really just trying to get out of Joe Bannister's way. But there's that bit at the end. There are sections to the interview, and the last section is titled Protect Yourself. About the last 3 minutes or so, 3.5 minutes, something like that. And that really, I think, is that should be the preface to listening to this information or wading into these waters. And it's even worse now. You know, Joe Bannister discusses working at the IRS CID, Criminal Investigation Division, for a bit. Mentions that there are about 2,100 of those agents these days. But he doesn't mention, yeah, the story that we heard rattling around that was debunked, apparently. You know, New York Times fact-checking the misleading claim about 87,000 tax agents, a claim which has been debunked numerous times, has resurged ahead of midterm elections. And whether or not, you know, however true that story is, still, even if it were entirely false, which it is not, this is a monolithic power that continues to swell a quarter of a century later into the post 9/11 era, so many things have happened. Other agencies have been created. We're further into the optics of the national security apparatus and how we all just need to succumb to the Borg. Basically, there's strong evidence of gun control measures being forced in states all around us. And really, it's not gun control, it's gun confiscation. All of the other optics that are working to break us down. But again, this all goes back to what Richard Weaver was discussing, and ideas have consequences. So what are the ideas and what are the consequences? We'll get into that. So that's one of the things. Maybe some of the gun confiscation I'll talk about today. Also, the way this subject came to my attention first was from the video series, as I mentioned, that Joyce sent to me. Well, Joe Moorcraft has a video or a sermon titled, How Do We Know God is Judging America? That's interesting. There are a lot of these kinds of sermons floating around, a lot that have surfaced recently that have somehow managed to gain high-profile visibility. This is not one of them. This sermon, released 7 months ago back in August of 2023, has only 6,000 views so far. So this is not one of those. And basically, those are sensationalized things to their agitprop to get people fighting against each other, and also to denigrate Christians generally. Look what they do, kind of thing. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But again, all of this gets back to ideas have consequences, and so what are the ideas and what are the consequences? Before we get going, we should start with the prayer. I try to do that because, you know, we are at war, but how and with whom or what? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. So with that in mind, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, the Lord's Prayer, and the full armor of God, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit. And help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper. I pray that all who walk in error will come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice. Wickedness be brought swiftly to an end and righteousness be restored in the land. I pray that poisonous trees and their offshoots like brands and agencies conceived in malice would collapse under the weight of their own evil, or perhaps be cut down and cast into the fire. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These are interesting times. The last thing I'll say about that is I believe very firmly that society does not turn on a dime. absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event like a new Pearl Harbor. Just kidding. But seriously, typically, even then, you know, there are epochal shifts in a moment, but it takes time, you know, to habituate people to certain things. We saw that with 9/11. We've seen it more recently with COVID. Things that you would think people would never do. Why is it that they're so malleable, so easily swayed? Again, ideas have consequences. So what are the ideas and what are the consequences? So generally speaking, it takes time. Society does not turn on a dime. And if you want to do that, fear is one of the best ways to do it, one of the most effective. And, you know, again, going back to the historical record, speaking of fear and speaking of war, because in times of war, you have tremendous discretionary powers. That's just that's sort of an axiom of history. The founding fathers knew that and talked about it, wrote about it. And Norman Dodd said that was basically what Catherine Casey discovered during the Reese Committee investigation back in the 50s when she was sent to the Carnegie Endowment and she was given discretionary viewing of the endowment's meeting minutes. And so he said that she was given specific parameters. There was no way in the time that she had to view everything. So she was told to focus on a few things, including some things right at the beginning. And lo and behold, she discovers that right out of the gates, they are working to, they're having a meeting for the first year. They're discussing how can they radically alter life in America. And they agree that a state of perpetual war is a great way to create the conditions to be able to radically alter society as quickly as possible because of those discretionary powers and because you can say, well, we're at war, so we have to XYZ. And they state in the minutes that this is what they begin immediately working on, trying to steer America into a perpetual state of war. The Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. So we've been headed that direction for 110 years now, at least. And here we are. It's taken time to get here. However, the caveat to all of that is that the Holy Spirit can change hearts and minds in an instant. A great illustration of that is the story of Jonah. I call it Jonah's gospel. Yet 40 days and America will be overthrown. If you read the story of Jonah, Jonah is obviously a reticent messenger. He doesn't like the people of Nineveh anyway. And you know what? Let them be judged. So he tries to get as far away as possible, essentially trying to escape God. Not possible. He ends up there anyway. The Bible says that Nineveh was a three-day journey, and he set out one day. So at best, he made it one-third of the way through town, if I'm taking that literally. But it sounds like probably less. Even if he made it all the way through town, still, this is amazing. And word gets all the way back to the king, and they repent. From the king on down, everyone repents, and there is a stay of execution, so to speak. In a moment, their hearts and their minds were changed. They were convicted. It can happen. And Lord willing, maybe that could happen in America. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Now, let's preface with this Romans chapter 1 stuff. I mean, it's coming true. And I'll just dive into the other stuff here in a minute. But it's Romans chapter 1. And before I do that, actually, I'm thinking about this stuff lately. Paul to Timothy. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. for men will be lovers of self. Sound familiar? Lovers of money. Boastful. Yeah. Arrogant. Yeah. Revilers. Yeah. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Unloving. Irreconcilable. Malicious gossips. Not just gossips, but malicious gossips. Without self-control. Brutal. Haters of good. Haters of good. Not just rebellious. Haters of good. Treacherous. Reckless. Conceited. Man, that is quite a list. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of good. Eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die, right? And then this, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. John in Tennessee used to like to mention this from time to time, this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And what strikes me recently is verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Holding to a form of godliness. You look at this list. That's astonishing. How is that even possible? These people, I don't think that most of us would put these two things together. This laundry list of a person severely lacking in character would be holding to a form of godliness. But I think it does make sense. And it's self-serving. And really what strikes me recently is I think this gets back to that question, who's in charge, who decides? And holding to a form of godliness to give the outward appearance to be, you know, in effect what Jesus referred to as whitewashed tombs or sepulchres, whitewashed, tombs, essentially empty, devoid of substance. But it is a self-serving religiosity, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. What is the power of God? It's, I mean, in a particular sense, I would summarize saying it is the Holy Spirit. You know, as I mentioned recently, Jesus didn't perform any miracles until he was baptized, and the synoptic gospels all say that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and then immediately thereafter we see him performing miracles. So holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. I think that dunamis, that dynamite power, is from the Holy Spirit. And so basically they're walking in their own strength, in my estimation. It's a self-gratifying, self-aggrandizing thing to give the appearance of, you know, the veneer of piety, when in reality they are severely lacking in character. And this, to me, unfortunately epitomizes just about everything we see in America. Anything that makes noise from a standpoint of Christian piety, I think, is cut from this cloth. And Paul told Timothy, avoid such men as these. So, on that note, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. Oh, ideas have consequences. Richard Weaver, published in 1948. Wikipedia says the book is largely a treatise on the harmful effects of nominalism on Western civilization since this doctrine gained prominence in the late Middle Ages, followed by a prescription of a course of action. What is to be done, dear comrades? Weaver attacks nominalism using historical analogy and the teleological implications or consequences, quote-unquote, of such a worldview. And like folks like Joe Moorcraft have said, you have a worldview, whether you realize it or not, and it is shaped in ways that, it is formed in ways that most people don't realize, and it exists. It is a thing, despite the fact that, you know, I think the best way to put it is the way Bertrand Russell put it. Nominalism breaks down the absolutes that would have you otherwise standing firmly, steadfastly, saying that just is not true. That is not the case. Nominalism breaks down those barriers until you get to a point where, like Bertrand Russell wrote in Chapter 2 of The Impact of Science on Society back in the same era, 1952, the populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. This is what you can expect in a scientific dictatorship and a society characterized by mass psychology, as he put it. And today, most people don't know what they believe unless they're told what they believe. And nobody wants to be bullied. And there's a lot of bullying going on. So if the mass psychology laser beam from space, I'm thinking of that video that Aaron and Melissa Dykes did, sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads. If that thing gets pointed at you, you want to find some kind of cover. You want to hide. And most people who call themselves Christians melt just like anyone else, try to capitulate when this is focused on them, or presumably focused on them, like a laser beam. And I've talked about the Live Golf thing. We talked about it yesterday during Monday, yesterday's Monday with Mitzi. I think the Live PGA controversy is one of the best illustrations of this. You know, now there's just this increasing talk that we need to come together, we need to make amends or whatever. And I will maintain, as I said yesterday, the best way I think to say it is that, you know, people say, well, sure they left, but now we should, you know, we should mend fences, and this division is bad for golf. And there was a hasty deal made between PGA and Liv, I think, because, you know, if for no other reason than keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing. But as I said yesterday, the best way to summarize that situation is it's not that they left. It's not that some folks left the PGA. It's how they left, which demonstrates their significant lack of character. It's all about greed. It's all about greed. And Brandel Chambly has been very vocal about that, but even he's softened, which is very, it's all strange. It's all very strange. There's a rumor that Rory McIlroy is part of some $850 million deal, and he has softened recently, which would seem to give some weight to that rumor. But again, when it comes to the merger and the fact that some folks left, it's not that they left, it's how they left. And to me, what's most curious about the discussion is that is the one thing that's left out constantly. Whether you want to talk about Saudi sports washing or whatever, the one thing that just seems to be, it's getting the curling release. It's getting the slow distance into the horizon. Let that go. Let that go far away. Is the fact that it's not that they left, it's how they left. That demonstrates their lack of character. That you would bite the hand that feeds you, that groomed you, brought you up through the feeder system, gave you this ability to be marketable and to have the ability to be that appealing for very specific reasons. And, you know, these people are paid insane. They're just paid obscene amounts of money through the Live Tour. And there are strings attached to that too, by the way. But, you know, if we can just take that, those numbers at face value, they're paid obscene amounts of money. And not for their golfing prowess, because as many people, I forget who it was, I think it was Brad Faxon or somebody during the Masters week who talked about how these guys have basically, since they've been on the live tour, they've been, it's like they've been in witness protection. They've been in a witness protection program, and they get, I forget how he said it. They get parole releases or something like that every once in a while for the majors. And that's fairly accurate. And as I said yesterday, I think there are two reasons that they are not performing well these days. One is the crisis of conscience, their internal turmoil over what they've done. And regret, in simple terms, and their own feelings of betrayal, because they want to think that they are people of character and integrity. The game of golf promotes that by its nature, or historically it has anyway. And the team format that atrophies the individual fortitude that the individual format provides in the larger, more high-profile PGA venues. So, anyway, this is all just a demonstration of my opinion of what is happening in America, what has gripped us, our increasing lack of character and integrity. We're being chipped away at. We're being atomized, turned into aerosol man, who has no integrity, who has no pieces that are all fitted tightly together, never to be broken apart. I think that's really, you know, again, that's kind of the front lines. Can we attack your conscience? Can we attack your stance on things? Can we get you believing things that are false? Can we turn your worldview upside down and break it apart? And make it so it's not impervious. If it's impervious and resilient to outward attacks, then you're steadfast. I think that's what Ephesians 6 is talking about. And I think there was a time that's how we thought of ourselves as Americans. That's how we've thought of bygone generations, have the courage to stand in the face of opposition or unpopularity. It's interesting that we can't seem to even stand up to unpopularity these days. It doesn't even have to be, which again reminds me of Bertrand Russell. The populace will not be allowed to know how its convictions were generated. When the technique has been perfected, every government that has been in charge of education for a generation will be able to control its subjects securely without the need of armies or policemen. Are we not there? Whoever governs the popular opinion is judge, jury, and executioner. Who can stand in opposition or even resistance to the court of public opinion, popular opinion? One of the things that is sort of on my mind, as a brief aside in this regard, that I will come back to, is the subject of the American, particularly American prison population from cradle to grave. For decades, generations now, we've been conditioned to become acclimated and acculturated to thinking, believing, living like prison is normal. Reminds me of Huxley talking about they will love their servitude in Brave New World Revisited and the Ultimate Revolution talk back in 1962. So, you know, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, around 2011, 12, we started seeing a lot of those articles that schools are being designed like prisons. A lot of mainstream articles, actually. Schools seem like prisons. Well, they have been going that direction for decades already. But people are starting to notice, and parents are outraged and horrified when they have to get buzzed into the Supermax facility that is grade school. And, you know, all the things that have happened more recently where, you know, puberty blockers or treatments or this or that, we hear about the stories from time to time of things that schools are doing and not telling parents. That's interesting, isn't it? Whose child is this then? It's obvious who thinks what and who's in charge there. You know, again, Bertrand Russell wrote about the divergent society, the plebs versus the ruling class in The Impact of Science on Society. John Taylor Gatto talked about the divergent society. I've thought about Metropolis quite a few times. Speaking of the depiction of the divergent society, and Metropolis always reminds me of Bernays' piano analogy, which sounds eerily similar to the Art Deco phenomenon plus the Metropolis movie. Jason Whitlock recently talked to Glenn Beck about, you know, Sean Combs and Sony Music creating a certain mindset while CCA, CXW, you know, are the private prison industrial complex management company, BlackRock Vanguard, involved in all of that. Why? Because it's guaranteed money from gangsta music to CXW, formerly CCA. You know, the welfare state conditions young minds to rely or depend on the nanny state, same kind of thing. And, you know, again, Darwin says that some are biologically inferior, so the nanny state should care for you. Isn't it ironic? The inherent message in Darwin is that some of you are inferior. Well, that's, you know, yeah, read The Descent of Man. Read the classification of people. You want to talk racist, read this Darwin's Descent of Man. So young people are reading this, getting the conditioning that some are biologically inferior, so the nanny state or the welfare state should take care of you. How do you cripple people? Like John Taylor Gatto said, talking about Beatrice Webb spending time with her uncle Herbert Spencer on his deathbed, and they both want to get rid of a bunch of people. He says, exterminate the brutes. She says, kill them with kindness. Be much more effective because you'll cripple them in every conceivable way. If you try to exterminate them, maybe they will, you know, be emboldened and strengthened. But if you kill them with kindness, the welfare state will cripple them and their posterity indefinitely. So you'll turn them into a giant boneless chicken ranch. Seems to be about where we are. You know, and there are so many other things that are happening. I mean, if you look at Agenda 21, Chapter 7, promoting sustainable human settlement development, the human settlement camps they talked about coming out of the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, which again was, you know, the backstory is what Alan Watt told us all about all those years, Club of Rome, Limits to Growth in the 70s, First Global Revolution comes out, is published in 91. Then immediately after that, you know, you have they basically had their plans that they worked for a year and had their meeting at the Rio Earth Summit. And, you know, Rockefeller cut out, oil billionaire Maurice Strong becomes the poster child for the environmental movement. Now we have all these things that just have, you know, we have a bunch of tree huggers that have somehow they have access to these high profile law firms, prestigious law firms, and deep pockets somewhere that are able to tie up tracts of land and mining claims for decades in court proceedings. How is that possible? tree huggers can tie people up in protracted legal battles. Ask yourself that. Jerry Brownfield talking about smart growth, John B. Watson, Little Albert experiment, John B. Calhoun's Universe 25 Utopia. Speaking of Derry Brownfield, you put together the smart growth thing that Derry Brownfield talked about with John B. Calhoun's Universe 25 Rat Utopia and behavioral sink, which is caused by what? Societal collapse is predicated on what? Population density. All this stuff. Things that we need to know. Fletcher Prouty, oil is not a fossil fuel. John Judge, we have enough energy resources to live comfortably for the next 500 years. What would happen if we could stand firmly on our own two feet? Gosh, what a concept. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S. Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit. Fact bit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. It's funny how sometimes the music is perfect. I don't mean to harp on this, but, you know, and now, you know, speaking of Agenda 21, Chapter 7, promoting sustainable human settlement development. Oh my gosh, we have a housing crisis. Vox, America is full of abandoned malls. What if we turn them into housing? And, you know, you read this, the first image that's depicted is Skyview Park Apartments. And, you know, they look nice. Former mall. But the trouble is, we've talked on this network about some things like this article, 12 best prisons in the world that are more luxurious than college hostel rooms. Huh. And you scroll through some of these articles. Oh, here's an image right here. Otago Corrections Facility, New Zealand. My goodness, that looks like it could be a model for these things that they're doing with this multi-use stuff in the abandoned malls. What if we could turn these into housing? And so you have this combine where you're conditioning young people, you know, have them going to school in places that feels like a prison. And then they, you know, grow up and they live in one and it feels perfectly comfortable. This article over Education Week misses the point, making the case for schools that don't look like prisons by Libby Stanford, March 2023. Actually, it's not so much that they look like prisons as much as it is they function like prisons. When you have, you know, you have the administrator buzz you in at the Supermax facility that's bulletproof everywhere. And is it that we don't want people getting in or we don't want people getting out? And they have school resource officers. What's a resource officer? What's a resource? I feel like we could play Mario Savio's remarks from 1964 on the steps of Sproul Hall. There is a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart. You know? That means that we are the raw material. We have no, you know, we don't want to be the raw material. But who can articulate that today? The faculty are a bunch of employees and we're the raw material. But we don't. We're the raw material that don't mean to have a bunch of processes put upon us. Don't mean to be made into any product. We will decide for ourselves.
We have a new tool that will increase production.
No, I guess we're out. Second hour coming up. Stick around. Grab that.
And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC. Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.